This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. Hey, hello to every one of my colleagues and peers in the automotive aftermarket. It's Carm Capriotto, and this is Aftermarket Weekly. Look at that person that I am going to have on as my guest host, Fred Gestowicki from Fix It With Fred. Can't wait to introduce Fred to you. Glad you're here. The Service Aftermarket's best kept secret for personal networking. We do it here, Aftermarket Weekly, Remarkable Results Radio, Town Hall Academy. Man, we've been doing this for 6 years now, having so much fun. Glad to have you here. Hey, I keep getting memories of ASTE down in Cary, North Carolina. I had so much fun. Keep an eye out for a really special vlog that Tracy and I created that's going to kind of bring some memories and some behind-the-scenes stuff to you. I'm sure it'll be up on the social media real soon. My guest, there he is. Hello, it's Fred Gestowicki from Fix It With Fred, Canton, Ohio. How you doing, Fred?
Doing all right, Carm.
Good to have you here. He's owner of the shop, master technician, 25 years of automotive experience, ASE master technician. You keep up all the certs, huh?
I got to, man. It's the only cert that we actually have in our industry. So we've got to play the game, brother, you know?
All right. Well, you're also a Hyundai, Kia Master Tech, a Mitsubishi Master Tech. Did you work at the dealerships early on?
I worked in Hyundai and Kia dealerships for about almost 18 years. And then I did Mitsubishi for about 8 and gained all the certs on all 3 of those car lines.
There's no way you did all that because you only look like you're 40.
45. Thank you for the compliment, Carm. I have a young wife. It helps whenever you rob the womb, not the cradle, go straight for the womb, you know?
Okay. Well, then take that as his first great piece of advice here as my guest host, rob the womb. Right. Fred's going to talk about price shoppers and we're going to see a tour of his shop. And there's an outside view of Fix It With Fred, Canton, Ohio. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix Studios, more commonly called the Carm Cave here. So, Fred, how's business?
Business is doing pretty good. We're able to keep up-ish, just a couple day lead. We have enough lead time. We can still acquire those new customers, keep everybody busy, and be ready to hire some more people. So, couldn't ask for more, Carm.
Oh, glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Hey, everyone, as you all know, a great partner of the show is Dorman.
Dorman consistently is looking for improved solutions to help save time and money for those who are performing the repairs. Dorman's all-in-one loaded backing plate solution does just that. With zero assembly required, you can now stop disassembling multiple pieces to make backing plate and e-brake repairs. Dorman's loaded backing plates deliver a complete solution. This assembly replaced all the failure-prone components by combining parking brake shoes and hardware onto the backing plate. The pre-mounted parking brake shoes, springs, and clips for a bolt and go solution. Want to know more about Dorman? Well, visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Hey, would you like to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Hey, thanks again, Dorman. We've done one other episode, Fred, I believe, together. So if you want to hear Fred come on a great Town Hall Academy, Fred Gestowicki in the search bar on the website, and you can catch Fred. You'll actually catch this one when we release this coming Saturday as a podcast. But if you're with us on social media, you'll find this video playing on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn. This coming Friday, Town Hall Academy, Service Advisor Role Play number 6. This is going to be different than we've ever done before. We're going to do a role play. We're going to make comments about it. We're going to suggest possible changes. And then we're going to watch the role play do again with the advice that was just given. So it's the first time we're doing something new and different. And by the way, this coming Thursday, my plans at noon are to do a really cool show, a live show, a Carmcast
on Apex and what's coming up at Apex and Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage. And we're going to have some of the trainers that are going to be there doing some really cool training. So I'm happy about all of that. Well, look, are you ready, man?
I was born ready.
I know. So how much, right?
I want to know how much a water pump is on a 2015 Ford Taurus. How much are brakes on my car? Fill in the blank. How much is this on this? No one's ever had that call, have you, Carm, at your shop?
No, I mean, think about it. I may pick up the phone and call a plumber and say how much to fix a leak on the toilet.
What gave me a realization, after we had our second son, I realized my will only had one kid in it. And my will I had was made by a friend of mine. He just did it. And since then, my friend has retired from his law practice, so I needed to get another will made. Well, my only will I ever got was free. I don't know how much a will costs. I have no clue. Google it. You won't get a very straight answer. So I called a lawyer and said, how much is it to get a will? And as those words came out of my house, I was like, I'm a price shopper. Oh my God. I'm the guy that calls my shop and wants to know how something is. I'm doing that to another business. So the price is irrelevant. I got off the phone and I sat there and was like, why did I just do that? Because I had learned to hate price shoppers, because we all learn to hate people that call and ask how much does it cost. It's just natural for us to be like, what do you mean how much does it cost? Get your car here and let me see. But I realized there's different reasons people ask for price. There's the number one reason we all know, because they're being super cheap and they don't want to spend any money. We all know that's the reason they're calling. In reality, there's other reasons. One of the top reasons, they want to make sure they have enough money, because if they're going to bring their car to you to fix a brake noise, a coolant leak, a warning light, whatever, whatever's broke, they don't want to have $400 in their account to spend, come to you and you tell them it's six and they don't have the money.
Right.
You want to be prepared. My will. What if the guy's like, it's $18,000. I don't have that kind of money, man. But if he says it's $100, I'd be like, cool. Literally, his answer was going to justify if I was ready to make that purchase. And I hadn't even met the guy. If money's not a problem, people don't just let go of money. They don't go, hey, I have unlimited funds. I'll bring you my car. They want something to talk about. We take these super complicated machines that everything is cool when it's new, everything works, and then one thing's not right, and we go in and we fix these super complicated machines. And now we take a layman or we take a civilian, however you want to look at it, and they call us. All they know is when they're driving, they hear a noise. They Googled it, because that's how we live life, is we Google everything. They found this piece that popped up on Google, and the all-knowing Google obviously knows the answer, right? It says it's struts. So they call you and go, how much are struts on my 2010 Equinox? They're coming up with something in our world that they can talk to us about. They're not necessarily being cheap about it. They don't know what else to say. They're trying to give something relatable, a topic, because they don't want to be like, hi, my car's making a noise and I know nothing. Can I bring my car to you and then you'll tell me how much it costs? Like, no one would ever have that conversation, Carm.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So when they bring up this topic of how much is it, that sometimes is the only thing they can relate to you with, yeah, is money. Yeah. By thinking about the customer's perspective, they have this super complicated machine that becomes worth less money every day, except during COVID where cars appreciated. And something's broke and they've got to have enough money to fix it. They're kind of panicked. So they just call, and it's a total stranger calling a total stranger. And what are we going to talk about? Let's talk about how much this costs.
Yep.
At our shop, we change the topic. So if you call me and say, how much are struts on an Equinox? I say, oh, well, I mean, I'd have to see it. Why do you think your Equinox needs struts? Oh, well, because when I'm driving, I hear a rattle. And I looked it up and it says it's struts. And you don't want to go, no, it's not struts, because you don't know until you have the car. You know, it could be struts. I don't know. It could be all kinds of stuff. And we try and avoid giving, we don't want to go, could be stabilizer links, control arm, struts. You don't want to rattle off every part on the front of a car, because then you
Yeah, way too much information.
Well, that and plus when you get the car and you charge them to check it and then you say it's the stabilizer links, they'll be like, well, you knew that when I was on the phone. Why did you charge me money to tell me that? You know, you want to, you don't want to phone diag cars. It's tempting because I like that game. Try and guess what's wrong with the car. Give them another topic to talk about. Or, you know, when they're like, how much is a fuel pump? Why do you think you need a fuel pump? Because my car won't start. And then acknowledge that they could be right. Because it's very rare for them to be like, how much are struts? Why do you think you need struts? Because my car won't start. People don't Google their way into that or get other friends, you know? So we found by switching the topic, and a lot of times it turns into, well, I already went somewhere. I got it checked. I was told I need this. They know what they need. There's your price shopper that's looking for price.
So if they know, Fred, and they're asking for price because another shop said they needed struts, what is your solution to that because someone has already diagnosed it?
So this is this is kind of a mindset thing. So I need struts. I took my car, got tires. They told me I need struts. I just ask them, well, why didn't you have them put struts on it? That's the first question I ask them. Yeah. If you had someone give you a price and you believe their diagnosis, why didn't you have them do the struts? And they say, well, because I want to make sure I'm getting a good deal. So then I just ask them another question. What do you mean a good deal? You mean the price, the warranty, the quality of the part? What makes it a good deal? And they'll, kind of all that stuff. Well, I don't know what their warranty is. I don't know what parts they're using. I just know what I do. And then you, that's an opportunity to advertise your warranty. That's an opportunity to advertise top tier parts. And I still haven't given a price. I say, if you don't trust them enough to do the struts, how are you going to trust the diagnosis enough for me to make up this fictitious price? It sounds great. You get here. Now it's wrong. I lied to you. I take my price to be a promise to you. And I don't want to start a relationship with a lie. I want to tell you the price and know that that price is true. And I can tell you a price for me to see what's wrong with your car. And then I can give you a price of what the repairs will be. And we use that word promise as a key point to let them know that I'm not going to tell you this number that sounds good to lure you in my door just to change it when you get here.
Yeah. So true. You know, you used the word, you lied. Is that a really good word to use occasionally? It just almost reduces the damn profile of our industry.
I'm okay using negativity in an avoidance context.
Okay.
What I mean by that is if you had called my shop and wanted a price, I say, I don't want to lie to you. What I'm telling you is that I don't want you to ask me for a price again.
Okay.
And that's what that is. You know, our top core value is trust. It's honesty. That is our top core value. So I'm not going to start a relationship by giving you a price, even though you've said you don't want to hold me to it. I hold myself to it.
Yeah.
And they understand that. And sometimes people go, you know what? I understand that, but I am just looking for a price. Okay, hang up. That's fine. The next time you need auto repair, give me a call first and I can give you that price.
Fred, when you get a price shopper, what is your close rate of getting someone to come in so you can really do a thorough diagnosis? Are you hitting 80%?
No, not at all. No. Because you, when you're open to the public, you're getting everyone in the world, people that are price comparing you to a shade tree mechanic working on it in their yard.
Okay, well then, is 50% a good target to close price shoppers?
I try and aim for that. I want to say we probably convert about a third to a fourth. In the area where my shop is, directly across the street, the average house value is $30,000. That's a real number. So there is a lot of not my customer across the street from me, and they call on a regular basis. And that's okay, because they have friends that are my customers. Treat every person like a friend so they can tell their friends how nice you were, whether you fixed their car or not.
It's a great lesson. Thank you so much. I think we struggle a lot with price shoppers, which is the reason in our industry, service advisor training has been so important and so critical to bring the confidence. I mean, a lot of service advisors feel that when a person asks for price, they're not trusted. And sometimes they have to have the self-confidence to get up and over that.
Well, how are they going to trust you? They don't even know you. Total stranger calling you from a website, Google view. Yeah, they don't trust you. That's what you're doing.
But the service advisor has to have the confidence to tough through someone who's just looking at a price relationship, knowing we can do so much more and that you're going to lose a few of these calls. Yeah. Yep. Great advice. Thank you. I know in such a short time, a very big topic, but you nailed it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carm.
Let's talk about some of the stuff we have been doing on the show. A heck of a week, I have to tell you. It starts out with my tribute to Bob Greenwood. It was pretty tough to do. I worked on it for about 3 weeks, got a lot of people to come on and bring their story, their memory message about Bob. I hope you can all get a chance to listen to this. Bob and I were really good friends, did a lot of stuff together, 33 podcast episodes out of our 1,000 in the library. So I did release my tribute to Bob. And also, Amazing Woman in Auto Care came out today. Catching Up with Your Mentor was a great show with Brandon Steckler and Jim Morton. It was really eye-opening. Not only did we talk about mentor-mentee relationships, we talked a whole bunch about diagnostic theory. And last Thursday, our Town Hall Academy, The Courage to Make Tough Decisions, a very heartfelt story on some of the tough decisions that these lady shop owners had to make. So we sure do appreciate all of that. Everyone who comes on the show and brings their heart, you know, their honesty and their passion to help everyone in the industry. We've been so, so honored to be doing this for so long. And of course, the Aftermarket Weekly Show, where we get a chance to go inside one of our great shops in North America. And I have not seen this video yet. I have not seen the tour. I am as excited as everyone else is to see behind the scenes at Fix It with Fred. Here we go.
So this is the customer entrance. We have multiple entrances in our building. This is where the customers come in. Parking is to the left. There's about 8 or 10 parking spots. Now, when we go in, important things, waiting room. No one wants waiters, but they want to see that you have a spot for them to wait, comfortable couches, TV, internet, COVID-friendly snacks, meaning water and soda. And notice there's two check-in stations, one to the left, one to the right. That's so that two people can check in. That is a cash-out spot. That is where, when you pick up, it's where you pick up. Floor mats right out in the open show the customers that we're going to cover their car up.
Fred, I want to make a comment on the showroom because I continue to see showrooms that look just like this each and every week on our tours. And I think you said the right thing. We don't have a lot of waiters, but they want to see that we care about the environment that they're going to hang out in. Comfortable couch, you know, the amenities are there. And I also believe some doctor waiting rooms you go into, they're barren. There's nothing there. The chairs are they're hard, right? Nothing going on.
My doctor's that way.
And you have no choice but to wait in a doctor's office. But the environment of the service professional to the tune that you've got these big, beautiful leather couches and stuff. If I had to wait, I will wait. That's why I come here. I mean, it's almost like you're setting the value proposition with what you do to your showroom.
That's the goal. Get the people on the phone call, get them in the door. Because once they get in the door, they'll see why we're doing what we're doing. They'll see that we care. And yeah, that waiting room, they hit the door on purpose, see the waiting room and go, wow, this is nice. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
So little kitchen area, that's where we prepare lunch, fridge for the front office. Now, right here is where we have team meeting or any kind of interviews at a team meeting table. That's where every Wednesday I buy lunch. We close from 12 to 1 and talk about whatever's going on. Right here, this is dispatch in the big tall board. The left board is production. The left is production. That shows everybody how we're doing for the week. The center is dispatch. That black box, the snap-on key box, is all of the tow-ins. Our regular cars have the keys in them all day long. Once you bring your car in, we don't take the key out until it's done because we keep it in a gated, secure area. The far right, I have AutoVital's TVP casting so they can see workflow. And then that little window that you see over to the right is where the done keys go. And this is all designed where the technicians have one spot they go to see what's next, see how things are going, drop off keys, get any parts they need and move on. It's like tech reset central.
Is your shop foreman in control of that?
It's productivity captain. Yeah, he does all of the dispatching. And then that's where the techs get their parts right through there. That's where they, anything that paperwork wise, we give them that stuff. Now that's my office. That's where I'm at right now. That way, if I need to have a meeting, I can do it there. That is where the parts guys enter. So this door is so that you'll never have a scenario where a customer is waiting behind a supplier or a tow guy. You never, ever want that. There's Adam. He's our one special needs employee that does cleaning of the cars, cleaning of the waiting room. He's a very inspiring young man. Now, right here, this is a wall of fame that I'm expanding over to the right. This is anybody's awards, ASCs, certifications. Right over there is where I'm going to fill that whole area up. I've got about 15 more awards. I'm looking to revamp some of how that's set up.
Let's stop there for a moment. And if you can remember, there was a signature piece there. Am I right?
So what that is, if you look on the comments, Tommy Nicholson commented, Fred the Hyundai Master. The reason he said that is in 2008, I went to the Hyundai National Skills Competition and got first in the United States. And in 2009, I went to the World Skills Olympics in Seoul, Korea, competed with 70 countries and got third in the world. And when they did that, they had a giant party. And I mean, Hyundai, the company that Samsung, they rented this awesome restaurant. And I took that single piece all folded up in Sharpies and set up a table and had everyone there sign it.
Cool.
And I'm the only one in existence. So that has been acid etched where that is protected from sun. It has all the people I competed with signature on. And I like to keep that front and center, man.
I didn't know that about you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, man. Now that we're leaving the customer area, there's two sets of fire doors so they don't smell or hear the shop. Now, before we go in the shop, this is the customer bathroom. Why is the customer bathroom important besides peeing? Now, if you could pause. See that baby change station?
Oh, yeah.
That's been used once. The person that used it never mentioned it in the review. My favorite review with that baby changing station is a customer of mine that's 78 years old and pointed out the baby change station. So to reinforce what you said earlier, Carm, it's not if they're going to use the amenities, it's that it exists. People love seeing a baby change station, even though they're never using it, just spare diapers. Now out here in the shop, all LED lit. You want to have what the customer sees. That's a tow vehicle. We took an old mower, turned it into a tow vehicle. We hook a tow strap to it, towing anything up to a 3/4 ton. That's our Fix It With Fred racing car. We have one racing car. We're working on a second one now. So that's kind of a fun thing. As crazy as it sounds, where the mechanics wash their hands is important. See how clean they keep that sink? They didn't know I was recording that video. That's just the normal way. Now, this is the technician's restroom, locker room. They have two stalls, urinal, you know, sinks. And then over here have their locker room. They have a fridge, a microwave, a lounge chair. They just have an area that they can call their own, whether it's hot. This area is air conditioned like the shop, or I mean like the office, heated like the office, showers if they want to take a quick shower before we go home. That's usually if they have like a date or something. So this, and the fun thing is, look where they put me, way over here. They put me, they moved my locker way over to the side. They're like, your locker's way over here. We're walking by a floor scrubber. I have a Hunter DSP 600. I don't have the Hawkeye. I haven't gotten into that game of the newer alignment lift yet. We have six of the rotary two-post lifts. I like to keep all the equipment centralized. BG machines, bead blaster for brakes because I'm in the rust belt, shop supplies, bolts, clips, wires, zip ties, flare nuts, any of the stuff they need. I want it to be where they can just go get it and then go back to the car. They don't have to walk up to the office to get it. AC machines, strut compressor. This is all the stuff that you need on a regular basis is right in the middle of the shop.
But everything has its home.
Yeah.
It's almost very lean in your systems and your processes. You could also, if you had to, put some vehicles, right down the center lane there.
We fill that every day. We pull all the cars in every night. And here's all the diagnostic equipment. They keep it right here. I bought a tool cart for them to put all the diagnostic equipment on. Special tools. They can keep all their special tools right here that are shop owned. This way they know when there's a special tool where it goes. Bulk oil in an oil table with pumps. And then that's for the synthetics that we don't do big bulk. We just do roll around with a pump. Let's see what else we got here. That's where they have the waste fluids, waste coolant, waste oil, new coolant. And then we're going to go outside. Everybody keeps scrap. If you call your local scrap yard, they'll usually supply you with a giant train car like that. You can just throw all the scrap in or you can haul it yourself. Things that you notice, the shop's clean. The shop's organized. The shop's bright. Customers notice this. Prospective techs notice this. Prospective advisors notice these things. My guys have scrap. Just throw it in the hopper. So what? They charge me a little bit to take it. At least I don't have to haul all that stuff down to the scrapyard. This is tow row. And then over here is death row. That white car with no hood is our second race car. It was donated by a customer for free. They gave me the car and it runs. Everyone in the aftermarket world is going to love this. You know how tow truck drivers are dummies? Just generally speaking, they share an IQ point. So we made signs for the tow truck drivers because we had a car towed in. They left the key in the car and never said a word to anybody. And the customer thought their car was lost. We put these signs up. And ever since we put these signs up, the tow guys know where to put the cars and they know to bring the keys to the office. So this is an active tow guy instruction page mounted right on the fence. So that's where that whole row of cars, we can push them, just take the car, push it right straight into the shop. That's what all these cars are either waiting on, back order, Ford, fill in the blank part, or waiting on their appointments.
I saw an area where the tow keys hung. Mm-hmm. I see an area on the lot for the tow cars.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a triple A center?
No, I'm a quarter mile from the highway.
Okay. Okay.
If you break down on the highway and you search, I am by far the closest shop that has any kind of SEO from State Route 30.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I was wondering why such a big emphasis on tow. And now you broke the code.
Yep. Yeah. It's acquisition customers that are towing in. Those are all cars we're working on, except past that red truck is where the employees park. Yeah. This is another guy bringing a car into the shop.
Everything has a place. I love it. Very nice tour. Great business. And you're in an area, is an industrial kind of area?
One side of the road is a neighborhood. The other side is a steel slitting company, a galvanizing company, an anodizing company. It's all industrial, but the other side is just houses.
Did you buy this shop?
No, I actually rent it. My shop used to be a cafeteria during World War II because the facility behind me was a bullet manufacturing company. So my building is older than World War II.
A bullet manufacturing company.
The biggest munitions factory in the world was in Canton, Ohio back in World War II.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Babcock and Wilcox, man.
So how far away are you from the Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame?
1.2 miles. If you're at the Football Hall of Fame and you break down, I win. Hall of Fame week is busy for acquisition, man, because auto repair near me, we get them all, brother, right off the highway. With Fred.
There you go. That's really cool. Thank you. So a question. Did you start the business from scratch in that building or did you buy someone else?
No, actually, I ran for 5 years in a warehouse. I turned a warehouse into a shop, ran for 5 years. And then 5 years ago, we moved into this building. So we've been open for 10 years and I did create the shop from scratch.
Cool. Good for you. Great story. Great tour. Great inspiration earlier in the episode on price shoppers. Again, as I say, this will be on YouTube. It's on YouTube right now. It's on Facebook right now. And we will repurpose this Saturday morning as a podcast. And next week, we're with Tina Erickson from Ken's Auto in Aurora, Colorado. Fred Guestwicky Jr. from Fix It with Fred, Canton, Ohio. Thank you, my friend, so much. This was really great. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Carm.